This week, Josh Gabalich from foxfooty.com.au and I put together our underrated 18, a team of players across the AFL who we believe are the most underrated. Josh joins me now via video link. It's an interesting team, Josh. There's plenty of players that have missed out, but I think it's important we explain to the audience and the listeners why certain players have been picked and why certain players who are clearly underrated haven't made the squad. Welcome to the Fox Footy podcast.
Good to see you, Tom. We'll be remotely in this current climate.
Yeah, it's bizarre, isn't it? And it's led us to a variety of different content options, one of which is this, which was your idea, an underrated team. So 22 players and a few notable omissions. I think it's important to first get sorted what the criteria was for an underrated AFL player eligible to be selected in this team.
Well, it's a thankless task and it's very subjective. So one person's view doesn't align with another. So if you can go through the criteria before we get started, I think that would be great.
So the underrated in the Oxford English Dictionary is to underestimate the extent, value, or importance of someone or something. Fairly self-explanatory. But we just twisted it slightly, didn't we, for the AFL definition, and this is our definition, a player who is valued internally and by the fans of the club he plays for, but is largely unheralded for his feats elsewhere. And I think the key there is a lot of these players, if not all of these players, are rated highly by their own clubs and highly by their own fans, but are underestimated by fans of the other 17 clubs.
Well, I think that's the key there, because all the players in this 22 are rated enormously internally. Yeah. And by their supporter base. You got to take the fans' lens off this and look at it holistically.
Yep. So I think what we found was there was two main reasons why someone was underrated. One, if they were at a club that was off Broadway and therefore didn't receive the media attention that they perhaps deserve. And the second reason was if a player, like we'll get to Brodie Mychek, is at a big club, but is down in the pecking order behind a number of stars.
Yeah, they're both two really good points. I mean, you've only got to look at someone like an Alex Sexton, who if he played for a Hawthorn or a Richmond, could be a real genuine star of the competition. But if you look at his output, he is a star of the competition.
That's exactly right. And he's kicked goals for the Gold Coast Suns over the last couple of years on a pretty prolific basis. So as you wrote in the article, as always, one supporter's treasure is another's trash. Defining who is underrated and who is overrated for that matter is purely subjective. That's the fun of it. Enjoy the debate. I think what's also important to note is that the players in this team are the ones who have the biggest discrepancy between what sort of player they actually are and what sort of player they're holistically seen as around the league. So we're not naming the best team of players. We're naming the players who have the biggest gap between the perception and the reality.
Definitely. And then we're also slotting them into a 22.
Which is hard.
It's difficult to do. So it's probably easier to come up with the most underrated player at your club, but then to slot them into a 22 was quite difficult yesterday, wasn't it?
It was. So we had a number of robust discussions and there was never going to be complete consensus. Unanimous consensus, but we got to a consensus in the end that we thought we found a 22 that was pretty good. So let's start from the full back line. Who have you named in the back pocket, a full back and the other back pocket?
So the first one is Jarryn Geary. So I think he's been slammed externally for a long time, almost like Nick Maxwell was for years at Collingwood. But internally, he's the most popular person at that club and he's the captain for the fourth year in a row for a reason. He gets the job done. He's never beaten. I think he clearly defines underrated.
Yeah. And so I got a message from someone at St Kilda this morning who had read this article. And this person said, I'm trying to find it now, Geary offers not much offensively, but sets up the entire defence with communication. He's an absolute jet. So I think as a back pocket, you don't need someone who's necessarily going to get you 25 or 30 and nail targets up the field, although that is nice. You actually need someone that's able to set up and play a defensive role. And Geary's been captain now since 2017. Am I right in saying that?
2017, yeah. Nick Riewoldt's last season at the club he took over.
Yeah, so he's clearly highly rated there and Saints fans, by and large, think he's a pretty good player. Phil Davis is an interesting one at full back, given he's pretty well regarded around the league. Can you explain this decision?
Well, this is a real champion data driven one. He's been highly regarded for a long time. He was captain of that club for 7 or 8 years. I just think the perception is that he is a B grade player, which is not bad. But we're just talking about purely for the purpose of this team. He's better than what the perception is. Would you agree?
Yeah, I think he's a top five key defender in the AFL. And B grade sounds negative because we love calling everyone A or A plus graders, but getting a B at school is 80% or better. So if he's in the top 20% of players as a B grader, he's doing pretty well. But we think he's actually better than that. We actually think he's close, if not an A grader. So it makes sense that he's at fullback here. Darcy Byrne-Jones, this was a selection driven by you. Tell us about this.
Huge, huge Darcy Byrne-Jones fan. You've only got to speak to people inside Port Adelaide to know how highly he's rated there. He finished second in their best and fairest last year. Ken Hinckley drove hard for him to be in the All-Australian team. He wasn't even in the squad, but Ken Hinckley drove hard. You know, clubs can do that. They really campaign for their players. But he's someone who, anywhere in Melbourne, he would be anonymous.
Yep.
He's unrecognisable. He fits this bill perfectly, I think.
You described it as Byrne-Jones could walk down Swan Street, Richmond, without being recognised, despite finishing second in Port Adelaide Best and Fairest last year. I think that's a pretty worthy selection at back pocket. The halfbacks caused a fair bit of debate on social media this morning. Zach Williams. He's a star, isn't he?
Well, I want you to explain this one. Yeah, he is a star, but I want you to explain why he's in this team.
Well, again, we referred to champion data yesterday, and we don't want to be too stats-driven, but I think it does have to play a part in these types of things. And everyone knows that Zach Williams is a very, very good player, but champion data last year, the AFL's official statistical partner, rated Williams the second best player in the league who wasn't a midfielder or a forward. Just consider that. Wasn't a midfielder or a forward. So the second best player that wasn't a midfielder or a forward. He is the definition of an elite player. And people in the know, and I'm talking people who are highly regarded in the AFL industry, just found it amazing that he wasn't an All-Australian last year. And I think this is a typical off-Broadway selection. People know he's good. People know he's very good. He's a genuine star, and that's why we've selected him at halfback.
And not just off Broadway, but he also fits the bill of slipping down the pecking order. There are so many stars at Greater Western Sydney that he's not in the discussion for the top six or seven players there regularly where he should be.
He should be. Sam Collins at centre halfback. He's only played 10 games. Did you have a threshold of games that players needed to reach before they were eligible for this team or not?
No, I didn't, because he's 25. He's been around for a long time. So he played 14 games at Freo before he got delisted and went back to Werribee. You've only got to look at how important he was in the first half of last season. He played the first 9 rounds and didn't play again until round 1 this year with that hip injury. They won 3 of the first 4. They nearly won 2 more. He was a force early in the year. He's gone into their leadership group. He's super influential. The way they talk about him inside Metricon Stadium is amazing.
Yeah.
So I think he is really underrated. And finding key defenders who are underrated is difficult, isn't it? Like, if you key defenders and key forwards, like, they're highly rated in this competition.
Yeah. Well, there's key forwards more so, but I think the big men are sort of the glamour players of the comp, and it's hard to find diamonds in the rough with those sorts of players. The other halfback flanker is Jack Crisp, who is a Magpie. He's part of the Dane Beams trade. Collingwood supporters applauded this morning. That they reckon he's a star, but does the rest of the competition think he's any good?
Well, I mean, I think he's rated really highly. This was the one where I was like, oh, does he fit into the Neville Jetta category where he's so underrated that he's actually rated? But he hasn't missed a game since that trade, and he was not in Brisbane's best 22, not even close. He's played 123 games since. He's finished top 3 in the best and fairest twice. He is a genuine star. So
yep.
I think he has to be in this team.
Yep, and that's why we selected him in halfback. I love this selection on the wing. Ricky Henderson, what a 2019 he had after arriving from the Adelaide Crows.
As a delisted free agent.
Yeah, for nothing.
His career was over.
Yeah.
And he came in last year and he was in the All-Australian discussion. He was unbelievable on a wing. Unbelievable.
Yep. No, he's clearly underrated. So the centerman, Jared Lyons, wasn't rated by the Gold Coast Suns, but played all 24 games at the Lions last year. Do we rate him high enough as a player?
Probably not yet. I mean, he probably at the end of the 2020 season, he'll get the plaudits he deserves. But he's a player you follow closely. Why is he in here?
Well, I think Jared Lyons, people get caught up in, and we're going to talk about another player in this same mold later, but we get caught up, and I think the Gold Coast Suns got caught up in what he couldn't do rather than what he could do. I don't think he's necessarily an amazing runner. I think his defensive running at the Suns perhaps wasn't that good, but I think the Crows let him go when they should have held on to him. He'd be perfect for them now. I know they've got a couple of inside mids, but who knows whether the Crouchers are going to stay or what's going to happen with Rory Sloane because he's getting old. I think Jared Lyons is not an elite player, but if you look at his numbers and look at the way he helped the Brisbane Lions last year, all he had to do is just get a push in the right direction, and he's a frontline AFL midfielder. And I don't think, given that he's been at three clubs, he's sort of seen as a bit of a journeyman. He's 27. He's sort of seen as a bit of a bit part, but I think he's actually better than that.
He's much better than that. He finished fourth in the best and fairest last year. We know how good Brisbane did last year.
Mitch Robinson was a late in to this team. He thrived under Chris Fagan. It seems like we all sort of rate Mitch Robinson as a player, but how good is he?
Well, I think to define this one, we've got to look at a wingman. We're looking for two specialist wingmen, and he fits the bill. He was rated by Champion Data as the second best wingman in the game last year. So, look, we were tossing up a few in this position, but the gun wingmans are really highly rated.
We didn't want to be like the All-Australian selectors and pick a midfielder on the wing. We wanted a wingman, and we wanted two wingmen. And that's why we've gone with Henderson and Robinson, because they are proper wingmen.
Definitely. No, he picks himself.
Your man, Alex Sexton, who is criminally underrated, to use your term. Tell us a bit about him as a footballer and why he deserves more plaudits than he gets.
Well, I mentioned him earlier, but I just think that if he played for a bigger club in a bigger market, he'd be a much bigger name. It's as simple as that. Yeah. He kicks a lot of goals, and he's become a really important player. And they are a struggling team. They don't have many stars, but he's become a crucial component. You only got to see the fact that he signed a 5-year deal last year to realise that he's a big part of that football club.
Brody Majcek, he's coming to the VFL, and he's been pretty constant in Nathan Buckley's best, 22. You've seen more of him than I have. You're a big Collingwood man. What makes him underrated?
Well, he often, because of the way Collingwood set up, they've got such an unconventional forward line with De Goey and Elliott and Stevenson and Josh Thomas. He often gets the best key defender because of his size. So it's amazing how many goals he's kicked since he's come in, and he hasn't missed a game since he debuted in round 11, 2018. Before that day against Fremantle, and he hasn't missed a beat since. I think the fact that he was drafted, Derek Hine drafted him as a key defender. That's where he played at Port Melbourne. He was centre-half back in the VFL team of the year that year, and he's played a key forward post ever since at AFL level. It's quite fascinating.
So 68 goals in his past 41 matches. He's at centre forward. On the other forward flank is Bailey Fritsch, who I love this selection from you, Josh, because I really rate him as a player. He's a smart, clever footballer. He had a terrific 2018, or back half of 2018, when Melbourne made that run in the finals. Last year, a few things went wrong for him in the club, but I think he's well positioned to be I don't want to say Jack Gunston. It's putting a high marker on him. But he's that sort of rangy, clever, marking ground ball player that can sort of do it all. And I think he is underrated.
He is pure class. And, I mean, there's all this stress around the VFL and what it's going to look like. We might miss out on players like him in the future if the VFL looks differently. Same with Majcek.
Same with Majcek. The most controversial selection, in my view, in the forward pocket was Taylor Walker. Let's talk the listeners through Taylor Walker, because there would be plenty that may argue that he's actually overrated. Tell us why he's underrated.
Well, I want you to tell us, because you fought for this selection.
Yeah, I did.
But the more you look at it, the more it makes sense. So explain why. Go through some of his numbers, because there is this perception that he is overrated and he's macho and all that.
Yeah, but when we look at a key forward, it's like we want Jonathan Brown or Nick Riewoldt or Buddy Franklin or Jack Riewoldt every time. But I think we underestimate the key forwards that maybe are limited in some other areas, but are really important in other particular areas. So I think of forwards in the past, like Jay Schultz, who played a really important role at Port Adelaide when he was at his best. And I think he was underrated because he wasn't that frontline big Jonathan Brown type. I think Taylor Walker's in that mold because of the way he carries himself as a carried himself as a captain and somehow didn't quite endear himself to other team supporters. He's actually more than just a marking goal-kicking player. He's one of the great assist players in the AFL. And of all the top 10 goal kickers last year, he finished second with the most assists. So he makes his team better. And yes, his running capacity is not great. Yes, he turns like the Titanic, but he actually is pretty good with his feet. In fact, he's elite with his feet. And I think he's underrated in that category. And I think we need to appreciate, we need to stop putting a blanket over key forwards and expecting them to be a certain sort of player and actually appreciate when they're very good at certain things. I don't know how many key forwards you can name, Josh, that are as good on their left and right foot as Taylor Walker is and how valuable that is in the modern day game.
No, you're spot on. His field kicking is absolutely elite. You've only got to watch him at Adelaide Oval to watch how he plays through the logos. But I think a lot of people wouldn't realise how many goals he did kick last year. He finished in the top 10 in the Commonwealth. Like, he kicks goals. He still kicks goals.
Yep.
Just like the next person we're going to talk about, and that's Tim Membry, who just kicks goals. And I know a lot of Saints people have been rapt that he's in this team because of the fact that he's done it for the last 4 years now.
So 34 in the last 4 years.
Yeah, and he's just a different type. He's not a traditional key forward because he's so mobile, but he attracts those key defenders. And I think with Josh Bruce going to the Bulldogs, Paddy McCartan standing away from football this year, I know Max King's arrived, but I think that we're going to see even more of Tim Membry, and I think he is poised for an All-Australian blazer.
That's a big call from you. He's an old-fashioned footballer, isn't he? Like, he kicks his three and four, he does the team things, and the Saints have been off-Broadway, let's be honest a little bit. And because he hasn't had big bags of seven or eight, or and he doesn't take big speckies, and he doesn't kick check sides from the boundaries, he doesn't necessarily get on highlights reels. But he's a consistently good player. And I agree with you that he's going to be put... If he has a good year, I think he deserves to be in that discussion. Jamie Cripps spoke to someone from Champion Data, Jacob Wilson, I'm sure he won't mind me saying his name. And he said that Jamie Cripps would be his first selected player in this team. We've put him in the forward pocket. The Eagles love him, don't they?
There's been a lot of love for Jamie Cripps in this team on social media from what I've seen so far. I mean, he was on track for a big, big year before he had that adductor strain late in the season. I mean, he still kicked plenty of goals. He kicked 48 when they won the premiership in 2018. He's a crucial part. I mean, he's just... When you look at Liam Ryan and Willie Rioli and the other exciting types they have in that forward line, he's more meat and potatoes, but he still gets the job done every week.
Jack Steele, we've got... Oh, sorry, Jared Witts. I'm dropping my head. The ruckman in this team. How did we decide? It's not easy to find a ruckman who's underrated, but Jared Witts signed a five-year deal for a reason at the Suns. He's the captain. Like, he has to be one of the most underrated players in the comp.
I think he definitely is. I mean, he won their best and fairest by a long way from David Swallow last year, and people will go, oh, it's the Suns, who cares? But to win a club best and fairest by considerable margins, a big achievement. I mean, I don't think there's many more crucial players to their team than him. If he went down, who's going to ruck for the Suns? Like,
Who's their next ruckman? Who is their next ruckman? I'm putting on the spot.
Their next ruckman now, I mean, Tom Nichols walked away last year. Zach Smith actually went all right in the Marsh series.
Yeah,
so
okay.
He's gone back up to the Suns after a little Geelong hiatus.
no one's ever said that before. Gone back up to the Gold Coast after a Geelong hiatus.
I know. It's amazing. But so I honestly think He's a really, really good player.
We put Jack Steele in the guts. He's a tackling machine. And you said he's more like Hollywood. Sorry, he might like Hollywood, but he's more West End. Can you explain this?
Look at him. Like he's Brad Pitt. He looks like he's got that poster boy David Beckham sort of look about him. But he's more Jason Bourne. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's just he's in and under. He doesn't like the attention. You won't see much of him TV-wise or in the papers, but he is ultra-dependable. He's finished third in the best and fairest in the past 2 years, and he's shown an ability to do all different types of roles.
He finished
third. It's going to be interesting to see what Brett Ratton does with him.
Yeah.
Like, will he use him as a tagger, as Alan Richardson did, or will he let him loose? That's the question.
He's a classic one that got squeezed out from GWS just because they had too many good players, and that's the Saints game. And he was finished third in the most in league tackles last year behind Tim Taranto and Elliot Yeo. So he loves to tackle. Another man who loves to tackle is Jacob Hopper from GWS. Does he just slip down in the pecking order? Is that the reasoning behind this, behind all the other Giants guns?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, when Tim Taranto won the best and fairest, I mean, there was just so much chat about Taranto and Hopper and stepping up with no shield, with Ward going down, with people like Cornelio and Green missing fair chunks of footy last year. He was amazing, Jacob Hopper. And I mean, I think he's a lock for this team.
Luke Brown, I pushed hard for Luke Brown because speak to people at the Crows, they reckon he's criminally underrated as a back pocket. I think we haven't really spoken about the way players look, because flashy-looking players generally get rated a bit higher. But Luke Brown, and I mean this in the most respectful way, has a boring name. He's got brown, black hair that's short on either side. He's not that tall. He's not that built. He doesn't have tattoos or tips in his hair. He's just a workman-like back pocket that's really hard to play on. And I think the unassuming defender deserves his job on the deserves his spot on the bench here. Unlucky not to be in the best 18.
He is very unlucky. But, I mean, I think he allows someone like Rory Laird to just do what he pleases.
Yeah.
So, I think Luke Brown is a very important player to the LA Crows.
James Harms can play in defence or the midfield. A bit of flexibility on the bench was important in this team.
Definitely was. I mean, I think James Harms is a bit like Melbourne last year, where they weren't getting any praise because of what happened on field in terms of their team results. I mean, you win five games after reaching a prelim and that's going to happen, but he still finished fourth in the best and fairest after finishing third the year before. And he can do a variety of roles. He can tag. We don't have a proper tagger in this team. We toyed with having George Hewitt in the team.
Yeah,
because I think a tagger would be important. But the fact that George Hewitt wasn't picked in round one against the Crows,
that cost him
after finishing second in the Skilton medal last year, was extreme. So James Harms is in for a variety of reasons.
So we'll talk about George Hewitt now, but who would have thought that John Longmire's decision not to select him in round one would affect his selection in this team? But you can't select a player in this team if his own club doesn't rate him, I think.
Yeah, you made that point, and I have to agree, because I was pretty strong on George Hewitt because I thought he was sensational last year.
The backup key defender is Luke Ryan. He was actually on the field till really late in the piece when we replaced him. But he's very underrated, isn't he, around the league? And his work on key forwards has been pretty solid.
Well, he's not underrated over in the West, as we've heard this morning. There's plenty of people that are coming in a bat for Luke Ryan. And I think he, sort of two-thirds of the way through last year, he was in that All-Australian discussion. He might have faded a little bit late, but he's just become so crucial to the Dockers. And I think, I mean, who knows how long this season, before we start this season again, but with Alex Pearce and Joel Hamling set to miss the first half of this year, he was going to be even more important than what he was last year. So I think he's become a really important player at AFL level.
The backup ruckman, in my view, was a choice between two. And we needed a backup ruckman because there's not a lot of talls on this field that can sort of chop out for Jared Witts. But to me, it was between John Segler, the Hawthorn ruckman, and Riley O'Brien at Adelaide. But we went with Segler, and we reckon that Clarko was the impetus behind this selection.
It was a really good point. I hadn't really thought of it, but if you think about all the discussion around Ben McAvoy over the summer and them moving him to centre half back after even going and getting Sam Frost and still having James Frawley down there, you're like, why are they doing that? Ben McAvoy is a two-time premiership ruckman, but John Segler he would be a number one ruckman at most other clubs. He's become a really, really good ruckman. And I think that's why why McAvoy's gone down back is because Segler is that good as a ruckman.
And a pretty good backup one in this team. So let's talk about some snubs. Who are the three or four biggest ones you've got? Because we've got some feedback this morning. And I think it's important to note that the guys we've left out, it's not because they're not underrated. We just have to fit them into a team somehow.
Well, I mean, one that's come in thick and fast is Nick Haynes. But for me, I think he is really rated. You've only got to look at his September campaign to know that.
Yeah.
So he was a main one. I mean, Jake Malksham is another one who's been listed a lot.
He's somewhat underrated. Yeah, Cunnington. Cunnington's he's a polarizing figure, Cunnington. Not dissimilar to Tex Walker, not in the way he carries himself, but just how people, some people think he's great. North Melbourne think people think he's awesome. Non-North Melbourne people think, well, not all of them, but some think he's a plotter and his leg speed gets exposed. I don't really know where I sit. I think somewhere in between is probably the right answer. I think he's a very good player, but I'm not sure
he's Cunnington is a star. I'm a huge Ben Cunnington fan. So that's why I didn't even consider him for this team.
Yeah,
and I'm surprised to see him even mentioned. Look, he doesn't get the plaudits he deserves.
Is he a two or three-time best inside fairest?
He's a two-time Sid Barker medalist, and he is one of the best inside midfielders in the competition.
I think, yes, I agree with that. But is that are those skills outweighed or impacted by what he can't do?
I mean, his strengths are super strong. So, yeah, so look, good. He's perfect for this discussion. There were some Richmond players.
Yeah.
He didn't make it. I don't think he should be. He's not underrated in my eyes. There were some Richmond players that were flagged. Shane Edwards was a main one. He's an All-Australian, so.
I don't know how we select All-Australians. I mean, we had this discussion yesterday. I wanted Shane Edwards in because if we talk about Zach Williams being the second best player in the AFL last year, according to champion data, aside from midfielders and forwards. Wasn't Shane Edwards number one? Like, he can play anywhere.
And anywhere, yeah.
Jack Riewoldt on Fox Footy Live last night named Shane Edwards the fifth best player he's played with. He named him ahead of some absolute stars. He's a gun, Shane Edwards. He's great for their forward handball game. But I just find it hard to select an All-Australian in this team because that means they have been rated.
Yeah, I completely agree.
A recent All-Australian.
It was 2 years ago. So there were a couple of others from Richmond's that were flagged. Kane Lambert, but I mean, he's a bit the same. Kane Lambert's a genuine star. We know enough about Kane Lambert's story to agree on that.
I think it's harder to be underrated if you're a one or two time premiership player in recent years because there's been so much media on these players and so much focus on these players at the point into the season. You sort of know everything about them. I'll ask you this.
Yeah.
If you go back and watch let's say the Port Adelaide Brisbane Grand Final from 2004. I reckon if you watch the game, you'd be able to name every single player because in Grand Final teams, you know who every player is because you've given so much attention to them. And the same applies to these Richmond players. They're no longer underrated like they were 3 or 4 years ago.
Oh, I completely agree. It's a bit like the Giants. Like we now know a lot more about the Giants because of last September. You go into a Grand Final and the media you get preliminary final week and grand final week is astronomical. We know a lot more about them now.
So in order to find underrated players, we actually need the breeding ground is low teams in non-football markets, the Gold Coast Suns.
Yeah.
That's the trivia. Any other notable omissions?
Yeah, there was a couple more. I mean, Braden Maynard is one that was coming from Collingwood supporters and I actually tend to agree. It's hard to fit him into this 22, but he is very underrated. He finished fifth in Collingwood's best and fairest last year. He allows Jeremy Howe and Darcy Moore to play the way they play because he can lock down on talls and smalls and he's a beautiful user. So he deserves to be in the discussion, as does Dan Houston from Port.
Yeah.
He's another one. Like there was a lot of Port Adelaide people that were a little bit dirty that Dan Houston, but the fact that Darcy Byrne-Jones was in, I think, relieved some of that. And probably the last one that I think should be in the stiff bracket is Pat Ambrose. Another mature age VFL recruit has become a permanent fixture at AFL level. He can play on anyone down there. I don't know how he's going to get a game when the season restarts because of how good Essendon are and the defensive key stocks, but he's a ripper.
He's an athlete. I know he's only played 8 games, I think, but Ollie Hanrahan I thought was stiff as well. Sam Mitchell on Fox Footy Live said last week that of all the players in the preseason that he's been most impressed with, Ollie Hanrahan's number one. So probably hasn't played enough games. We haven't seen enough of him because he's not 25 like Sam Collins, but I think he should be rated higher down the track than what we perhaps already do, just because we haven't seen enough of him. But interesting exercise, Josh. Very good. I look forward to your next 18, whatever that is, and I'm sure it's going to cause plenty of debate and discussion like this one did. Appreciate you joining us on the Fox Footy Podcast and we'll chat to you soon.
Good to chat.